How's everybody doing this morning? Good.
We've got several visitors in the audience, and we're thankful for you being here this morning. If it's your first time, if you wouldn't mind, fill out a visitor's card for us so we can have a record of you being here, and we appreciate you being here very much. Many of us, if you want to go ahead, you can open up to Acts chapter 8. We'll get there in just a second. Many of us have probably seen a scenario like this before. In my hand, I have a map of the mass transit in New York City, the train lines. And you've probably seen somebody be like, they're looking all at it, right? And they're reading the thing, 33rd St. Street, Rawson Street. And they got no idea what the world is saying. They're reading it, but they got no idea where in the world Rawson Street is, where in the world they're trying to get. But they see it as plain as day. But they don't get it. In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch is riding in his chariot. And he's on his way back from Jerusalem. And he's been to Jerusalem to worship. And there's a man by the name of Philip who's been told, go join this chariot. And he gets to the chariot, and the eunuch is reading out loud from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And notice the question that Philip asks him in verse 30. Do you understand what you're reading? I ask you the question this morning. Do you understand what you're reading? We can read it all day long, but if I don't get it, if I don't grasp it in some way, haven't I missed it? I love the eunuch's response, and you well know this, verse 31. And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? We all need guidance in that way. We all need to be taught the Word of God. And this morning we're going to be talking about understanding what it is that we're reading. Specifically, as we think this quarter about the callings and the teachings of Jesus, last week we looked at, do I believe Jesus? This week you might say, do I understand Jesus? I hear it, but I don't get it. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. There's the most famous parable, probably, in the Bible is the parable of the sower. And it is the one that Jesus begins to tell parables to his crowd. He's been speaking very straightforward up to these parables. And the very first one out of his mouth is the parable of the sower. And you may know this, or you may not, but let's read verses 3 through 9 to get the parable. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the ground, on the good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What did Jesus just say? You read it. Man, why is Jesus talking about seeds and birds and thorns and rocks? What's he talking about? I love when I'm studying with people to ask them, what's Jesus saying? Do you have any idea what he's talking about? Had he not told us? Isn't that the beauty of this parable? He doesn't do it with every parable, but with this parable, he tells us exactly what he's talking about. Let's go and let's see what he says about it. Go down to verse 18. By the way, his apostles asked him, why are you talking these parables? And we'll get to that in just a second. But he said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. Oh. So the seed fell on this place, and the bird that took it away was the devil because they didn't understand it. Oh, that makes sense. The word seed didn't have a chance to get in the ground. Got it. What about the next one? Verse 20. The one whom the seed was sown by the rocky. Okay, so the first group was by the path, a little hard, seed couldn't get in. So now we've got the rocky soil, verse 20, and it says, the one of whom the seed was sown in the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yeah, it comes in, he gets it, he's all excited about it. But the sun came out and it withered away. Verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but is temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Oh. He got it at first and he loved it. But then a problem came in his life. The sun came. And then, man, I ain't putting up with this. I'm done. What about our third group that fell among the thorns? Verse 22. And the one whom the seed sown among the thorns, that's the man who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Man, that one never even had a chance. It's in there somewhere. He heard the word, but it got smothered. It got choked out by every other care. The cares of what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to do today? And what am I going to wear? And man, I got to get all this money and I got to work all this extra time and all this. And the word never has a chance. Even though it's in there, it gets smothered and choked out. But the fourth that fell upon the good soil, verse 23. And the one whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit, and it brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The one who bore the fruit, he heard it and he understood. You know how the parable begins with our two soils? The one by the wayside and the one by the path. He heard it, but he didn't understand it. Can't grow. The one who heard it and understood it, it brought forth fruit. If I'm reading and I don't understand what I'm reading, the Word of God cannot produce fruit in me. Because who wants to come and take that away? The bird comes. Takes it away, and so I don't get it. See how vitally important it is to understand what it is that we read. Oftentimes when we think about the parable of the sower, we think about people, if they are willing to accept Christ, and they're willing to say, yeah, Jesus, the one who was born of Mary, the one from Nazareth, he's the Christ. And we think about that. That's right. But it's deeper than that. It's not just a one-time decision. They heard the word of God about Jesus and they accepted it and it was able to bring fruit. It's every time the word of God is sown. Anytime God speaks through his word, do I hear it and understand it? Or do I hear it and don't get it? So I ask a question. What could cause me not to understand? If I'm reading the Bible, why might I not be able to understand it? Well, I think back to elementary school, right? Maybe I'm not ready for how deep the Bible is at this point in time. 1 Peter chapter 2 would tell us that we need to be like infants who long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, so that we may grow up into salvation. We're pictured as kids where we need milk. So maybe I don't need to be eating on the heavy stuff. Hebrews 5 talks about milk is for infants and for children, but meat is for the mature. There does come a point where I need to be a mature Christian, where I can read what God says and get it. That may not be where you're at this morning. You may be new to the Word of God. It's okay. It's hard to understand. Frankly, some of it's just hard because it forces me to think. In John chapter 6, and again we won't turn there, but it's where Jesus is talking about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And there was many disciples who turned away that day, and this is what they said. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They don't think. What in the world is he talking about? This guy is weird. And most of us, we don't want to use our brains when it comes to spiritual things. We want it handed to us in a spoon or in a bottle like the milk, don't we? But you know what you remember the most? The thing you had to work for. You don't remember the moments in your life that were just crazy, easy, and very simple. You remember and you learn the most from the times when you had to work hard to figure it out, don't you? You don't lose it. Well, those aren't what I'm talking about this morning. Jesus gives us a very reason right here in Matthew chapter 13. When he is asked by his disciples, why do you speak in parables? Jesus says, verse 13, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. There's our map. They see it, but they don't see it. In hearing, they do not hear. They hear the words that are coming out of his mouth. You've probably seen that in the movie. Except he says, do you understand the words that are coming out of his mouth? Jesus says they hear it, but they don't hear it. Nor do they understand. And here's the reason in verse 14. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they close their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. What's the problem? Their hard, dull heart. They don't want the Word of God. Otherwise, they'd have to submit to God. They don't want it. And so we often think about the Jews who were dull in their heart. But I tell you what, we need to look at two groups that were dull in their heart. And again, we're not talking about just one point in time when we're talking about the parable of the sower. We're talking about multiple points in time where any time the Word of God is read, or any time the Word of God is taught, am I the wayside soil with a hard heart? Am I rocky soil? Am I thorny soil? Or am I good soil? I can be one at any point. We'll see that. I want to look at two groups this morning. We want to look at the Jewish leaders in Acts chapter 28. We want to look at the disciples. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 28. In our Wendy's class, just this past week, we were looking at this text. And Paul has now made it to Rome. He's been trying to get there, and he's now there, except he's a prisoner. And he gets there, and one of the first things he does, within 3 days, he calls the Jewish leaders to himself. And he tells them about
about Christ.
They've heard about Christ, and they've even heard about the Christians. But they've not really heard anything about it. All they've heard in verse 22 is that we desire to hear from you, Paul, but what your views are concerning this sect, it's known to us that it's spoken against everywhere. We don't understand it, but we know that it's been talked against. We'll gladly hear you, Paul. So Paul begins to teach them. Notice verse 23. So when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. How is he trying to persuade them? The law and the prophets. Their scripture of that day, what they had in their possession. And he's testifying. He is swearing by it. This happened. This is what the prophets said. This is what Moses said. From morning until evening. Well, you can kind of guess how it all happens. Now verse 24, the response. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. There you are in that midst. You've got your wayside and you've got your good soil. Paul goes on to quote Isaiah and to quote Jesus, and he says this. They did not agree with one another, verse 25, and they began leaving after Paul had spoken one more word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers. Go to this people and say, you'll keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For their heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. He's now using their scriptures against them. They didn't want them. They heard it, and they could read it, but seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not understand. I would never fall into that category, would I? Man, those Jewish leaders, terrible folks. And you can go to Acts 17, you can see more terrible Jewish leaders if you want to. But enough of them. Go to our second group. Go to our disciples. The 12 closest disciples of Jesus. You go back to Matthew chapter 13. It's kind of interesting how all this happens. He's speaking parables to all of these people publicly, and then they would go into the house and he would explain the parable to the disciples privately. So they're given insider information to the point where they're able to say in verse 51, Jesus says, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. So, okay, we got the parables, Jesus. But it wasn't of their own. Jesus was explaining it to them. We think, yeah, they got it, right? Or we think of another time Matthew records. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus has just taken Peter, James, and John with him onto the mount where Jesus is changed in front of them. He is transfigured and he puts on all this shiny, turns into this shiny creature. And he's talking to Moses and Elijah about his departure. And they come down from the mountain, and the disciples ask Jesus a question. So if you're there in Matthew chapter 17, verse 10, his disciples ask him, after Jesus says, don't tell anybody about this event until after the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Now verse 10. Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? They had heard the teaching, but they weren't getting it. Did you know that the Old Testament said that Elijah was going to come first? Was going to come before the Lord? Malachi chapter 4 would be a good place to go for that. And even chapter 3 if you want to, but really chapter 4 of Malachi. Here's what Jesus says to him. Verse 11. Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished, so also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Why did the scribes say Elijah's got to come first? And Jesus says, Elijah did. They're right. Elijah did come first, but they didn't recognize him. And they treated him the way they wanted to treat him. Well, who's Elijah, Jesus? Forget it. Next verse. But the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. They got that one. When he said, the one that they treated him the way that they wished, they had already killed John. He was the one saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the one preparing the way for Jesus. They understood that. They got that. But again, Jesus didn't flat out say who Elijah was. Why would he do that? Got to think it through. Now here's where we want to get. Now our disciples, they understand it. They get some of this teaching from Jesus. They got insider information. Well, Mark chapter 6, go with me to Mark chapter 6. It's interesting when you read through the Gospels and you see these stories that are recorded in the same Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes it'll be recorded in all three, sometimes it's recorded in two. This particular section, Mark is very difficult. He's very hard on the disciples. And so they've seen and they've heard Jesus, so let's say they saw what Jesus did with the loaves. Now let me remind you about what Jesus did with the loaves. One day he's out teaching, right? People have been following him for 3 days. They don't have any food. And so Jesus says, hey, you got any food? And they say, here are 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And Jesus says, okay. So he blessed the food, he broke it up, and they fed 5,000 men. Not including women and children. And then they, when they were finished, after everyone was satisfied, they gathered it all up, and there were 12 baskets full of food. Well, Jesus says, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they get the boat, and they go to the other side of the lake. But Jesus is not with them. Storm comes up. Or they get a little afraid, I should say. There's somebody walking out on the water in the middle of the night. And they think it's a ghost. But guess what? It's Jesus. Notice what verse 51 says here of Mark. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. For they had not gained, in my translation says, any insight. But the word is the same as we've been seeing with understand. They didn't get it. They didn't understand the loaves. Why? But their heart was hardened. They should have seen it. They should have understood. If this man can divide this little bit of fish to feed all of these people, he can walk on water too. But yet for some reason they're completely baffled by that. Completely astonished by it. So you think, oh, they got it, right? Well, another time he feeds 4,000, just a few days later. Feeds 4,000. Well, they're now back in the boat again, and they're coming back across. And Jesus says this teaching to them. Go with me to Mark's account. And Jesus says to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Go to Mark chapter 8. This is recorded in both Mark and Matthew. We're going to look at both accounts here in just a second. But in Mark, Jesus says in verse 15. Actually, sorry, verse 14, because we want the backstory. They're traveling, verse 14. They had forgotten to take bread. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Now let's back up. Okay. They don't have any food but one loaf. There's 12 of them in there. And Jesus. Is that enough bread? Is that enough food? You might say no, right? But what did Jesus do with five loaves? Oh yeah, fed 5,000. What did he do with seven loaves? Oh yeah, fed 4,000. That's on their brain. We forgot food. What is verse 15? So he's giving them orders or commanding them. He says, watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that we got no bread. How do we forget bread? Could we not have remembered? In verse 17, Jesus, aware of this, said, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not understand? Do you have a heart? Why don't they get it? Their heart is hard. And then he quotes for them, having eyes, do you not see? And hearing and having ears, do you not hear? Don't you people get it? Don't you remember? And I see his tone now changing. Do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets of broken pieces did you pick up? They said, 12. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? Mark doesn't tell us that they understood. Matthew tells us they understood. Go to Matthew chapter 16. They didn't get it at first. Seeing it and hearing it, but not getting it. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12, they realize. Then they understood that he did not say, beware of the leaven of bread. They're thinking physical. But of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What am I missing when I'm reading? Is Jesus upset with me in any way that I'm reading through the Word of God and I'm just seeing it and I'm reading it and I'm hearing it and I ain't getting it? I imagine there are scriptures, like we talked about last week, that we don't really want to set in and to have the ability to bring forth fruit. Because we don't want to cut the sin out of our life. We don't want to change. We don't want to take big leaps of faith. And it's not because of the Word of God. It's not because we're not hearing it. It's because our heart is dull. And so we don't. And it's not because we can't get it. It's because we don't want to get it. So the question I ask is, do you understand what you're reading? Do you want to get what it is that you're reading? And you say, yeah, I want to get it. I want to understand it. Parables are tough. Some sayings of Jesus are tough. Some writings of Paul are tough. How can I understand? Go to Mark's gospel when he is recording this of the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4. Again, Matthew and Mark both talk about the parable of the sower, but they talk about it from different perspectives. But notice what Jesus says, and we can read verses 21 to 22, and I'll just give you a brief synopsis of what I think verses 21 and 22 are talking about. He was saying to them, a lamp, and again, he's using a parable in a sense. A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed. You don't bring out a light that is supposed to show you around and then you hide it under something that covers it up, do you? No. But what do? You put it on the lampstand where it can be seen. So then verse 22. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. What's Jesus saying? I didn't come to keep this stuff secret. You can get it, you can understand it, it's been brought to light, but you got to have ears to hear it. He would make that point even clearer in Matthew 13. But here we go. What can you do? What can I do? Now verse 24. Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away. You got to take care of what you're listening to, what you're reading. If you care about something, you just let it go in one ear and out the other. No. You think about it. You protect it in some way. You read it, you heard it. I'm not really sure what it says, but instead of just saying, I don't understand it, just forgetting it, how about taking a step back and slowing things down? What is Jesus trying to say? What's Paul trying to say? Think about it. But you know what we've said before? Many times we want it handed to us in the bottle. We want it spoon-fed to us. There's going to be a lot of stuff you don't get that you're supposed to get. Because if you use what you have, he says more will be given. Kind of the way we think about it. You get out what you put in. If I pour myself into understanding the Scriptures, you know what's probably going to happen? I won't understand the Scriptures. If I don't want to understand it, and I want to put any work into it, you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to understand the Scriptures. I'm going to be seeing, and I'm going to be hearing, and I ain't going to be getting. And so I feel like the guy looking at the map where I'm just completely lost, and then you know what you do with the map? You pick it up. Crumpled up and go off to the side. And then that's how it becomes the coffee table statement. Because I didn't put into it. But thirdly, you got it, right? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Isn't that the way it works with all of our... Think about back to your schooling days. This is one of the things that I forget, and I use this all the time because I really wish I could remember. The clouds. When I look up at the clouds, right, I know that there are different types of clouds. I know that there are cirrus clouds, there are cumulus clouds, there are cumulonimbus clouds, there are stratus clouds, there are all these clouds, right? I got the names. You know what I don't know? Which cloud is which? You know what I used to know? Which cloud is which? How many of us, we know what the Scriptures say, but we got no idea what it says? Now, you know, I heard the Bible, it said this. What's that mean? Well, I don't know. What good does it do? Doesn't do me any good, because I can say, man, that's a cirrus cloud. And you say, no, actually that's cumulonimbus. And then I look like it, right? You get the point, right? If you don't use what you have, you're going to lose it. That's exactly what Jesus said. What he doesn't have is going to be taken away from him. You have it, but you take it away. Secondly, I got to admit. Remember what the eunuch said? Well, how can I unless someone guides me? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, verses 12, it said that he gave some, and that is
Jesus. He gave some to be apostles and prophets. And then he goes on to say, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. There are people that you know who've done a lot of study in the Word of God. I've done a good bit. I don't know everything. You asked the class this morning. The passage I looked at this morning, got it on the tip of my tongue before I come here, can't find it. I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm reading, just can't find where it's at. Find you a guide. Find someone who will help you understand the Word of God. They've been given for that purpose. But beware that the blind can lead the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what happens? They fall into a ditch, right? You be careful about who your guide is. And also be aware that there are guys out there who want to deceive you. They want you to believe something that is completely false. Take care what you listen to. Is it the Word of God, or is it the Word and the teaching of man? It's on me, isn't it? And then thirdly, and finally, what we've talked about, soften your heart. Quit being a people, and I'm speaking to myself, quit being a people who don't want to hear the things that I need to do differently. Quit being a people who get tired of hearing the basics over and over again. Soften your heart. Jesus tells another parable in Matthew 13. I'll close with this parable. You know the beauty of parables, by the way? It's kind of up to you to decide what some of them mean. Jesus tells us sometimes, he told this parable so that they ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We get an explanation here of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. We also get an explanation of the parable of the tares in Matthew 13. Some of the parables we don't get an explanation. So there may be some question about what one means. I'll tell you what I think this one means. He gives his parable, Matthew 13. There was a woman. And she took three pecks of flour, three tiny little things of leaven. She placed it in the bread, and the whole thing rose. I said, what are you talking about, Wes? You've ever done any baking, right? You're trying to get bread to rise. You want it to be leaven. How much does it take to get the whole thing to rise? Teeny tiny little bit. And you have to put it all throughout. No. You put it in one spot and it permeates and it spreads kind of like tree roots, like your veins, to the whole body. Soften your heart so that when the seed, the Word of God, goes in your heart, it can permeate throughout your entire soul to give you the leaven that God would have you have. The psalmist says this in Psalm 119, and verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. That's my prayer this morning for myself and for you, is that we would not be a people that hear but do not hear. And a people that see, but do not see. But we be a people that hear and understand. We see